Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show, the award-winning Craig and Greg Show, as I've shared with you before.
Yes.
And Greg, I thank you for joining the duck. You don't have a Jeep, but...
My very good friend, my covenant brother, has a Jeep, and I'm living vicariously through his fun. There you go.
Right. So, yeah, I love that. Thanks for, I love collecting the ducks. It's good to be, you know, in simpatico with somebody. So
I like that. Yeah. Kindred. I like that. Man. I like it.
Well, covenant brother. That's even better.
That's the coup d'etat.
Well, one of the things that we have really come together on, and I don't know why we didn't do this sooner, because you've written books and I've written books, but finally we decided to sit down and write a book together. And being the overachievers that we are. we decided not to do just one book, but we set a pretty lofty standard for
like we're at the buffet of book writing. Wow.
So we have a whole series that's going to be coming your way. It's called Business by the Book. The book is the Bible. And what we did, we sat down and we designed kind of what you would think of as a typical corporate flow chart. And we started just plugging in ideas on all those different boxes. So you can imagine if you've ever seen any kind of a flow chart at all. So we start at the top with
CEO.
The CEO. Mm-hmm. And our very first book in this series is about a CEO's, the importance of the CEO having the vision for the organization. And we recorded a previous episode about the beginning of the book and the importance of eyes on the prize in order to get there. And we talked about leaders having to go first before you tell somebody else, here's the vision. I got to be living it out myself. But that by itself, if we were to just stop right there, sounds a little self-serving. It sounds like the vision is all about the leader. But the next part that we transition to, the next part we transition to, really kind of the guts, the middle part of the book, is we're saying you have to take other people along with you. Mm-hmm. So kind of walk us through this process. It has to start with the leader, so it's kind of the I see this, I think we should go. What starts to go through a leader's heart and mind as they transition to we? I see this, we need to go towards this, and then getting other people to buy in. What kind of things do leaders need to think about at that time?
I think that the leader who sets a good vision needs to check to make sure others grasp it. One thing to say, hey, I see this, we should do this. And if they're like, I don't even know what that means. So that's one big step, is to make sure they're in agreement and they understood there's some comprehension. But bringing them with us is important. That's, you know, what grandparents did to us. Like, hey, we're going to go and chop wood, watch me.
Right.
You bring them, you know, and they're not, I wasn't slave labor for my grandpa, but I certainly learned how to use a saw or an axe or a chainsaw.
Right.
And they brought you along. And I think that's a simple analogy, but that's where leaders like you've shown, I can't lead it alone. They need to be right by me.
They have to come along with you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a part of that. You know, you can check out some of our other episodes where we've talked about that level of communication that you have with people, where you're not, you don't want to leave people behind. And so you learn to slow down enough to listen to, like we talked about the disagreement, that's not bad. So somebody says, well, wait a minute. You're casting this vision. I don't really see it that way. Not saying, okay, well, you're off the team, but say, okay, well, maybe you didn't understand what I was saying here.
Right.
So there is a slower process, I think, especially at the beginning, where I see some leaders that will lose some of the momentum is when they just go, here it is, let's go. And they just take off and kind of turn their back on the team because they're running so hard for the goal. And they might get there as an individual, but then they turn around and look like, where is everybody? And so we can't do that as leaders. We can't just like bolt for the final destination. It is going to be a slower journey. Mm-hmm. Is that, do leaders, what do they do with that feeling of maybe feeling a little frustrated that teams aren't moving along with them?
I wonder sometimes for us leaders, myself included, I've done it, is I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been contemplating it. I have actually maybe even decided to put it in writing. And so I've been germinating on it.
Right.
And then we meet with our team and we're like, yeah, so this is what I've been working on. And they're like, that's the first time I see it.
Right.
I don't know what you were working on. So I think that's part of where I can check my own frustration. Like, well, give them a chance to digest it. It's a big vision, or it's a change of vision.
Yep.
And most people will catch up, but for sure, I can start off second lap and I'm thinking they're still with me and they haven't even got their shoes on yet to run. Yeah. So
I was a part of that with a leader that I'm having the dialogue with. This, he was the senior leader on the team, and we're having these dialogues and he's thinking about and sharing his vision with me. And then when he presents it to the whole team, he presented it as though, okay, let's go. And everybody was like, can we ask these questions? He took all those questions as, you don't trust me.
Ooh.
And that wasn't the case. They were just simply saying what you said. Well, wait a minute. This is the first we're hearing of it. And he really struggled with that.
Yeah.
But I think that I would say that as a warning, you know, or preparation for leaders. When you share that vision, that's the first time that people are hearing it.
I do think, you know, like, they don't believe in me is a gut check for a leader. But I've done that, unfortunately, where I met with a team and I said, so this is what happened. And so I think this is where we should go. And they're like, can you back up? Because I didn't have that experience, but it makes sense, sort of. I'd just like to know a little more. And that's probably one of those gut checks of, I better slow down.
Sure.
I mean, I like the idea. I've checked it. I maybe even asked a few people for input, but my team wasn't there.
Yep.
And they've got to get caught up to speed or get their arms around it. And that's not easy to wait for.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the way that we've written this book is that Greg and I are alternating chapters. And so I write a chapter that is predominantly kind of a scriptural example. And then you write a follow-up chapter that is a business application.
So basically, I'm not very spiritual like he is.
Not true at all. Not true at all. So in this one, we have a couple of chapters about bringing your team along. And I actually start off with an example that is more modern before I get to the biblical example. There was a guy that Jedediah Smith was his name, and some people called him God's Mountain Man. He was a Christian guy, and he would lead people on these cross through the wilderness, through the mountains, you know, taking them out to the West Coast. And one of the things that they always talked about, Jedediah Smith, is that in the morning, doesn't matter how early the whole party would get up, Jedediah was always up before them, and he had already like shaved and dressed and had already scouted ahead and had come back. And they talked about how like he would start, he'd go out in front and he'd be like showing him the way, but never got like too far over the horizon or over a hill where people lost sight of him. But he was far enough ahead to point out, hey, hold on, there's something over here, you're going to have to steer to the side. And then I transitioned, as I told that story, to a leader in the Bible by the name of Joshua, who takes the reins from Moses. And he did almost the exact same thing.
That had to be a tough job.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? That's
this guy did the Ten Commandments and I'm doing what?
Yeah, exactly. And he is really right at Joshua is right at the edge of leading them into the promised land. They're so close to destination, but he always went first. He said, you know, this is what I've already seen. This is what I've already explored. This is what I've already researched. Here's the things that you guys are going to have to be aware of. So in some ways, we as leaders do have to go out and explore the frontier first, and then we have to come back and tell people, here's what we found over here, and here's the path to get there. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about like whether it's Jedediah Smith or whether it's Joshua of the Bible or even some of your own personal example. How do you do that? How do you like go and research, go and explore, and then come back? And what are you telling your team at that point? How do you convey that to them so that they're not just going, well, we're going to stay back here, go do it on your own, but you want to take them with you?
I think there is an translation of or a transfer of confidence.
That's good.
Right? So you go out there, Craig, and you're exploring and you're checking for threats or opportunities, and this is a better path. There's water up ahead, or, you know, whatever. Or there's a city. I don't know if it's safe. Let's go around. I'm thinking like an explorer. Sure. When you come back, they're like, well, you checked it out for us. Let's go. Because you tried it, you tested it. It wasn't like, yeah, I've never been down this precipice mountain. Okay, you go first, boss.
Right.
You know, I've already been down here. I came back up. This is where I got the manna or the, you know, whatever. And I think that's part of it, is that you went and checked it out, did a little safety check maybe, or a directional check. And but that just brings up the leader's influence.
Sure.
Because you're willing to go alone to check it out. What if you
came, and then come back? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, this is the best way for all of us. And it's not really a invitation by the leader to say, who wants to go with me? You do it as the leader. Like, you're going to take the bullet. You're going to twist an ankle on a rock, and you're going to come back and say, I checked it all out, a couple traps, but we're good. I think it's a confidence builder for the team.
Well, and I like what you said too, in that analogy of like, all right, I found a city that I don't think is very safe that we need to go around. I think that that's realistic to come back and tell your team, there's going to be some challenges here. If you come back, what happens if you come back and go, oh, it's a primrose path all the way there? And then what happens when people run into a problem?
Well, then they really don't believe you. Like, yes. Boss, you're full of baloney. You're fooling us. You didn't go, did you?
So you really haven't transferred that trust over when you do that. You have to tell them the real story.
Yeah. And some don't like that. Like, they do want to make it easy so everybody follows them.
Sure.
And I think just being realistic, everyone knows it's not going to be an easy walk or a hike or whatever. I think that a leader going in front just exudes confidence back to it, comes out to us,
yeah.
You know, the pack, the team. How about you? When you think about someone being questioned, you know, you talked about a prior senior leader maybe being questioned, or they, it wasn't doubting, they just... He made an assumption.
Sure.
I think that's one of our worst traps as leaders, if you want to talk about that.
Well, and I'll admit that when I was a younger leader, I did feel like that, that, you know, when somebody asked a question, that I'd be like, you know, become very defensive. Like,
wait, you questioning my authority?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Why don't you just, you know, lockstep behind me? But I think to be able to say, okay, well, hold on a second. Let me put myself in your spot.
Yep.
Yeah, if somebody was asking me to leave the comfortable spot that I am here and go into the unknown, I might have some questions here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, particularly if it's unknown, there's an element of danger, right?
Yes.
An element of unsure.
Yep.
An element of how long is this going to go or be? What do I need to be ready for? And so maybe even some calmness.
Yes.
That, you know, like when you're, we've been here before. It's okay. I went this way and looked it up. We're going to go this way. There's a river.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool.
Yep.
You know, you did some recon.
Yep.
You know, and I think as a leader, you've done that multiple times in different organizations where people, all right, hey, Craig, if this is the way we're going, I get it. I'll be right with you.
Yep.
Right. So I think there's a confidence level. Calmness wouldn't be another one. What about you? What do you think?
I think just the credibility.
That's a good one.
You know, of saying, okay, I know what's there. I went over that hill that you can't see. I went over that hill and I checked it out and I came back.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you come back and say, I checked it out and came back and we're not taking that path, we might have to backtrack a little bit to go around over here. I think even that, there's the credibility in that, because without saying it, what you're really saying is, I'd be willing to admit that my first assumption that this was going to be the safe path isn't.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, so you admit that you don't have all the answers. Right. I don't have all the answers, but
I'm going to be really aggressive and find them for us.
Right.
I think consistency is another one.
Yeah.
You know, where, oh, this is a nice area. I'll walk ahead without you and redo do the recon. I'm a little nervous about this one. Let's go together. So I think the consistency of you're willing to go hike, work, get up early, and then you know when you get back to camp or wherever it is, the office, whatever it is, they're like, oh, he's been out there checking it out. There's a consistency.
Let's segue with that, because you actually, in your chapter following this, you talk about hindrances that could lead to the whole team not moving ahead. And one of them is the exact opposite of what you just said. It's the lack of consistency. What are some other hindrances that are going to be that we need to watch out for as leaders that are going to, oh man, I haven't gotten the whole team to move with me. I'm starting to go, but it's becoming more and more just me, and I'm leaving more people behind. What are some of the hindrances to that?
Probably buy-in. I think maybe even, you know, communication, like, but where are we going?
Yeah.
Well, come, just follow me. And I think, you know, that unsure, maybe a lack of knowledge, sometimes we have to share that even if they're walking with us. The hindrances really for me are probably all humanity, right? It's not just special to leaders, but even a parent.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to trust you, Dad. I'm going to jump off this raft and you better catch me in the water, right? Yep. And then you do, and you're like, okay, one more, I'll try it again. Now, Billy, you can swim back to the raft yourself, and the third time they jump in. So it's a confidence builder when we really include them. Vice versa, if we don't include them, it's a lack of confidence. It's a hesitancy, unfortunately, for some who are with us as teammates. It's they're looking for, you sure, boss? You know, that, like,
right. So, yeah.
they is it deep? Yep, and it's cold too.
Right.
Oh boy, I don't know, you know. But if you embrace the adventure in the unknown, the journey, slower journey, you know, if you embrace it, there may be a few stragglers depending on the size of your team, but most everyone will be like, well, Craig's jumping in the water. I'm going to jump in the water. Got to be okay. There's no alligators here.
Right.
Probably my favorite hindrance is the inconsistency, because I think that's in life. You know, it's you and Betsy, it's you with your kids, you with your new grandbaby. Be consistent.
Yep.
And that's a really great comfort for people. Like, when I'm with Craig, he leads consistently. I know what I'm going to get.
Sure.
It's that up, down, left, right. That,
well, and one of the other ones that I think that probably goes along with that too, that you address in the chapter, is the distractions. That you know, not because it's when you're shooting for a goal, when you're shooting for a vision, and that's why we talked earlier in the book about keeping your eyes on the goal, because you go where your eyes are. But if you go, oh, look at this one, look at this one, look at this, look, well, where are you going?
Squirrel.
Right, and it's really hard for people to follow along, because because like I mentioned earlier, sometimes you might say, oh, we're going to have to backtrack a little bit because we're still moving towards the goal. We're just going to have to go around this thing to get there. But that's totally different than, like, is it this one? What about this one? Oh, that would be really cool. I wonder if we could do this too.
Yeah.
Those distractions, really, your energy is, and your momentum is all diffused around. It's not focused on anything.
My grandpa had, or both my grandpas were quite fun with quotes, hence the book Sage Advice. But a quote that my grandpa would give me, we'd go to church with him in the morning, go back to their home to have dinner. You know, it's kind of a family day in the olden days. And my grandpa would be like, you know, the devil can't stop you from walking with me to church. When I was little, I'm like, okay, where is he? You know, but he can distract you while you're in church not to get anything out of it. And I thought, that's pretty parallel to a leader. The distractions of us, or if we have a teammate who's easily distracted or maybe discouraged, you know, and we have to really put our leadership hat on to meet them where they're at.
Yep.
Which isn't easy, because if you have a big team, you're kind of applying it differently. But the distractions are so easy. It's, you know, I remember coaching one of my son's baseball teams, and I had a hide this player in the outfield. And why? Because he was distracted. You know what he was doing? Picking up clovers because he liked bees. There were no bees out there, and we're not playing the bees, but he's holding clovers in his hand with a glove. What happened?
Right.
The ball came to him. He didn't want to lose the clovers, so he let the ball bounce, go to the fence, picked it up, and he's like, switch the clovers to throw. And we just kind of make modifications if we're distracted, and so...
Yep.
He didn't play a lot of innings because he was often distracted, but his mom and dad thought he was cute out there in right field, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and hey, listen, cute has its place, but
when
you are trying to move a team forward, cute can become a distraction that you're like, yeah, look at that, it looks nice. Yeah, but it's not moving us down the road. And so, yeah, so that's really, I think that's kind of the 1-2 punch on bringing people together, is that you have to say, all right, I'm going to go check this thing out, But then when I come back and I'm sharing it with you, we can't be distracted by this. And so that's why, you know, there is a place for saying, I'm going to answer these questions that you have. But at some point, now the questions are just the distractions, the hindrance to us moving forward.
Or stall tactics.
Yeah. And we are just going to have to, we're just going to have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, you know, you can check the water depth. Is it cold? Do I have a towel? Okay, you still got to jump in the water, bro. Yep. Come on, let's go.
Well, I like, you know, when Joshua was leading the Israelites across, they had the last barrier was the Jordan River.
It was.
And Joshua was called to take the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to walk into the river first. Wow. And I always think about, you know, these poles that are fairly long that the four priests are carrying it on their shoulder. All right, it's one thing, you know, the first priests get their ankles in there. How far into the rushing water did they have to go before the people and the priests in the back finally got their feet in the water?
The back priest probably questioned it three times, like, I don't know.
Yeah, what's going on here? But but then it's as they stood still, then that's what allowed all the other people to cross. And so sometimes we as leaders, we, you know, it would be very easy to get distracted by, look at this river. Look at back up there. There's a lot of water still coming. Look at how many people are behind us. Are they all going to get across in time? There's so many things that could get us distracted, and then we're not looking. There's our vision. We're not looking at it anymore.
Yeah.
So we do have to have the vision, keep our eyes on the vision, keep our ear and our heart towards the people. But then we also have to be listening to the people to say, hey, you're getting distracted over here. Stay focused on this thing.
Exactly. And everyone has an important role. And
yes,
if they're not like in the ark carrying it, or Paul bears at a funeral, or, you know, you work on a farm and you've got equipment and horses and whatever else, I just think it's important for everyone to have a role and know why it works together.
Yep.
Like, so it's conclusive or a concise team. But there's always a straggler or two, you know, and sometimes you have to peel back and, you know, keep them going a little bit. And you've done that great with people through the years. You got one story.
Well, I actually just really recently, I was just telling, I was in a group of, with meeting with these professionals and saying, look, here's where we need to go.
Mm.
Okay, so we got it down. What we need to focus on is what's one thing that we're going to do to move us towards that? Yeah. Not seven things, not nine things, not even three things. What's one thing? And their question was, are we ever going to get there just taking one step at a time? And I said, well, I think that if we take that one right step, I think we're going to cover more ground than you think that we're going to cover, because it's going to be.
And it's together.
Yes. We're all going together. We all know what the one step is, and we're all going to take that one step together. But that takes, you know, we have to know what the end goal looks like and eliminate the things that would be the distractions. And to be honest with you, in our very lengthy meeting, it took an entire day. We were eliminating all the distractions. So when we got done the very next day, everybody knows what we're doing for the one step that we have to take.
Yeah, when you brought up Jedidiah and then Joshua, I couldn't come up with a J for my chapter, so I really feel like I gypped the readers. But I think with consistency, distractions, I think the last parting word would be confidence for me. Like if you said, hey, we're going to walk, we're going to go explore, we're going to do this, like, well, he clearly believes we can do it. And that's the cool part about leadership, because we're with him.
Yep.
Right. We're with him. We're not, hey, go fix that over. I'll be over in my truck on my phone.
Right.
No, I'm with you. I'm carrying the lumber. I'm bringing the nails and the hammer. We're going to go build something together.
Sure.
But I think that confidence is, and then when you're not there one time, they know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you lead your organization, it doesn't have to be a huge organization. It could just be you leading an organization all by yourself. Vision is important. So I highly recommend to you that you check out our first Business by the book about a CEO's vision casting. It's a short book. You can read it pretty quickly, but there'll be a lot of stuff in there for you to unpack and apply in your leadership journey. The other place we would love to come alongside and help you is in our coaching services. If you go to maximize MaximizeLeadership.com. Click on the link about coaching. You can meet some of our coaches there. But especially down at the bottom of the page, there's a form you want to fill out there. Just tell us a little bit about what you're going through, what you would like to accomplish, maybe a roadblock that you've run into, or maybe you say we're performing but not quite at the level that we'd like to. This is where an outside coach can come in. We have a totally different perspective. We're able to show you some of the land that we've already explored before and help you get there and implement that for your team. So check out MaximizeLeadership.com for those coaching pages. Check out Greg's book. He mentioned Sage Advice earlier. That's a very enjoyable read.
It's a little embarrassing, too.
No, it's not. Well, the pictures might be. But,
well, they're black and white.
But the stories are great. And then for all of our sales professionals, Greg's latest book is called Sales Armageddon, and you'll want to check that out as well. So MaximizeLeadership.com is your go-to source for those leadership things. We'd love to hear from you as well. If you want to leave a comment below on this video, reach out to us on X at Maximize Podcast and share with us some thoughts on this episode, or maybe even give us some suggestions for some topics that you'd like us to cover soon. We're here to resource you, because when you get better as a leader, we all get better as leaders. So stay tuned. We've got more great content that'll be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.